got your Bibles with you. Hope you do. Isaiah 64. Got a good group of kids. Amen. Always good to see kids. Have them in there, man. Young people in the church. Isaiah 64, verse 1, the Bible says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for thee." Heavenly Father, now, Lord, I pray that our minds can be turned to your word today. Lord, help us to have all the other distractions away out of our thoughts, Lord. Have our minds and hearts ready, prepared. Lord, I pray you'll use me to preach your word today. And Lord, I pray that we will be expecting something today beyond the ordinary. And so I commit the service here to your care, Lord. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Give me power to preach. And I'll thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name, I pray. The title of the message today is Unexpected Things. Unexpected Things. That verse 4 there may sound more familiar to you than the rest. Paul loosely quoted that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and Paul said it this way. He said, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him that love him." That's the way he said it there in 1 Corinthians. Now, verse 64:4 in Isaiah said the last part, instead of "love him," said "waited for him," or waited for him. Now, Paul perceived in his mind that the person who truly waits on God is also the one that loves him. That without love, a person is not likely, and doesn't, by the way, I put that in parentheses, that he doesn't wait on God. Now, that word "wait" carries with it this, an expectation, what it means, that they're expecting something from God. That's what that would, that if you fit that in there, that would clear that up just a little bit, not like we're just waiting and not looking forward to or expecting anything to take place. So it comes with expectation. The title of the message, Unexpected Things. You know, expecting something from God. Now I want to ask you something. This is just, you know, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to say anything. But I want to ask you this in your mind right here. Honestly, be honest with your own self. I know you can lie to yourself. And if you don't think you can lie to yourself, you're lying. If you be honest with yourself, how many of you really expected God to do something today? Like, you're going to come to church and the Word of God's going to be preached. It's not me, it's just the Word of God. I'm just preaching the Word of God. Everybody got their own style, but it's still the Word of God. How many of you really expected that God's going to say something to you? I mean, you know, you left home and you just can't hardly wait, and you run in here like the little kids usually run over to their service because you know for it, without a shadow of a doubt, you know, a lot of times, I mean, we go through the motions. We know, I had one person raise their hand over here just so you know, one person expected something, all the rest of you weren't too sure about it, but just think about this. Sometimes we just go through the motions, man. We're clocking in, come in there, I'm going to put that time clock out in the foyer one day, so you come in as a Christian, you clock in, and you sit down, and when it's over with, and I know when it's time to quit preaching. Because everybody's going like this. They're looking at their watch. See, so this time up. So when the time's up, you know, you'll know that when you clock out, you go out and you can say, "Hey, you know, the preaching was good. The singing was okay. the preaching was good and the singing was okay." And you know, and we check the box. We put the gold star by our name that we went to church today. And that's what, you know, but we're not really expecting or looking forward to God doing anything, particularly anything out of the ordinary. Any unexpected things. That's what it asks right there. So, you know, when we think about this expectation, expecting God to do something or expecting God to do something beyond what we can imagine, that's what that verse said right there. In other words, well, you know, I know what you're thinking right off the bat. Oh, preacher, if God's going to do something beyond what I can imagine, if it's beyond what I can imagine, how could I think about that? Well, you just think about something that you can't think about. I mean, you just think it's going to be something outside the norm, something that you haven't anticipated. And then to have a desire for that. Well, wouldn't you like to see God do? I love in the book of Acts. Man, when they preached, I mentioned it Wednesday night when I was telling you all about, you know, how they prayed for boldness in the face of persecution. They prayed for boldness to go on and preach the word. And the Bible, man, it said all of a sudden, the whole church, the where they met, place, it shook. And I mean, when it shook, they knew God had showed up. I mean, just imagine, boy, right about the time I get done saying that, all, you know, huh? Boy, we could have altar call right then, right? I wanted to finish the message, right? Huh? I mean, when God would do something. But you know what? God could do those things. Now, we think about these unexpected things. And a lot of times, people may apply verses 4 in Isaiah and then in 1 Corinthians 2, 9. They may talk about these things, these unexpected things, as the way it reads. They may think, well, you know, yeah, it's something that's in heaven. You know, that there's unexpected things. That God, it hasn't entered into our heart what God has prepared for us in heaven. A lot of people would apply it that way, and we can't apply it that way, not do it any harm. But I think also that we can, you know, because I know we haven't imagined everything that what heaven could be like, but I think we could also talk about prepared things, that I think God has prepared things in this life, on this earth, you know, for the day that we're living in. God has prepared things. He has unexpected things for us right now, right now. That we can get outside of the routine or the mundane, the rut. You know what they say about a rut? Ain't nothing but a grave with both ends kicked out of it. That's what a rut is. I mean, we get in a rut. So we could expect something that would happen right now. I mean, just see God do some great things. Every now and then, man, you get in a meeting of something when God do something. I remember when I was a kid, you know, I was a Methodist, man. I'm going to tell you what, you know, that's about as mundane as it gets. Sorry if I offended you, but I used to be one for years, but got saved and got out of it, right? But anyway, I remember I had a step-grandmother, and her name was Stella, wherever Stella's at. Her name was Stella, too. And she was a hard-shell Baptist, and I didn't know nothing about a hard-shell Baptist, man. I mean, I'd been in there where everybody sat real somber, and, you know, they didn't say too much, and you know, everybody, boy, somebody shouted amen, everybody in there had a heart attack probably, but I mean, you know, it was just like real somber, and we sat in there, but she took me to a meeting, Chilhowee, Virginia. I'll never forget it. I was talking to Les about it one time. He said, man, I know what church, I bet you I know what church it was. It was old-timey, you know, the white building. Right now, you think about how it is, I don't know how it is outside because it feels good in here, but I imagine it's getting hot. It's supposed to get real hot. Man, the windows were open. The place is packed to the gills. They had a balcony. You know, as a kid, you want to sit in the balcony. As an adult, we know better. All the heat is up there in the balcony, right? And they had a balcony. It was packed. Everybody was dressed to the hilt, man. I mean, I'm talking, buddy, suits, ties. Everybody, man, was sitting there. And we was packed in. I remember that. And I mean, this guy got up there. I'll never forget it. I think he had a light gray suit on just like I did. I can't tell you a thing he preached on. I'm going to tell you, it was good. This guy, I mean, I was just a kid. I mean, this guy was up there, buddy, and he had that arm shot out there, man, and he was going at it, and I was like, look like y'all do most of the time. Just like, hey, I was looking at that guy. He was preaching, man, and I mean, man, it was packed out. I'd never seen an invitation in my life. Dude, everybody had the fans from the funeral home, you know, because the windows were open, no air conditioning. It was in the summer. It was in June somewhere, end of June. Man, everybody was sitting in there with that fan just going like that. But I'm going to tell you what, man, God was in the place filled up. He gave an invitation. A 90-year-old, I think he was 91-year-old man, he was blind. He came down the aisle. His daughter or granddaughter was holding his arm. And, buddy, he had that cane, brought him down there to get saved. You know what the odds of that guy getting saved are? Somebody that old, been lost all them years? Man, I mean, they brought him in. God was doing something. Man, people were shouting and everything. I was just like, I never saw nothing like it. I mean, God can do those same things. He can fill churches up. He could move in such a way that, man, I mean, when you get done, you know God's there. I mean, you knew that God showed up and that God did something and you saw some people get saved. There's things that God can do and have a desire for that right now, right in this life. But the thing, what hinders that from happening? Why isn't it like that? Listen, you know, unfortunately, I didn't want to pastor a dead church. Yeah, let's see how it worked out. But anyway, so much for wishful thinking, right? No, I mean, I don't. You know, I just think there's times when I know, buddy, that God hadn't been, didn't feel like to me that God was within 100 miles. I know it had to feel that way to you that God wasn't within 100. Deader than 4 o'clock. You know the deal. Hey, man, when you come dragging in on Sunday night, name of 15 people here. And then on, and it's even worse on Wednesday. I mean, you know, it's hard to be enthused, but I mean, God can do more than that, I'm sure. But I remember, you know, thinking about that. But if there's anything that hinders God, and I'm going to tell you what, it's the same thing that why these people got desperate and cried out, it hindered them, that hinders us today. It's the exact same thing. Human nature hadn't changed. I don't care when it is. I don't care if it's all the way after the sin came to Adam and Eve from then to now. Human nature hadn't changed a bit. It's the exact same way. It was sin, unbelief, unfaithfulness, idolatry, immorality, coldness, deadness, indifference. It existed in that day. It exists in our day. And listen, God, you know what? They knew it. You know it too. You know it. You know what the problem is. I'm not going to tell you nothing new. You know what your problem is. I know what it is. God knows what it is. I'm going to tell you what, we know what it is. And so God's people knew it. They knew that they could see they also could see the wickedness of the world around them, and we can see the same thing. And so what happened? They got desperate enough that they cried out to God. So the very first point, they asked God to look down. I didn't read that verse, but if you back up just right there in chapter 63, just slide up to verse 15. It said here, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength? The sounding of thy bowels, which means are the yearning of thy love and of thy mercies toward me. Are they restrained? Yes, in a sense. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and harden our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine, thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. They cried out. Here was a cry, a plea for God to look down from heaven. Now, when I think about that, I thought, well, what did God see when he looked down in that day? And what does God see today when he looks down now? When God looks down upon the world today, I'm going to tell you what God sees. It's Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. I mean, that's just the way it's Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. He rained fire and brimstone down on them at that time. Actually, that's the way he'll destroy the earth again. It won't be a flood. It'll be fire and brimstone. But anyway, what does he see? Perversion, immorality, murder, corruption, and just plain old stupidity. I hate to say it that way. I had to alliterate my points for tonight. I was trying to keep it alliterated. And I got, we've been preaching through on victorious Christian living in the day that we're living in. And, so I had to alliterate my points. So I've got some things to avoid I'm going to talk to you about tonight. And one of them is settling down where you're at spiritually. The second thing is strife that we come up against. And the last thing, I wanted to be ignorance, but ignorance didn't go with settling and strife, so I had to just put stupidity. That's alliterator, right? So anyway, that'll be point number three tonight on stupidity. So that's what we see. I mean, right here, just on the news the other day, right here in Central Virginia, here we are in the middle of conservatism, where we live, the area we live in. Right over here in Bedford, y'all saw it on the news, they were going to have a drag queen show at a high school, okay? And I looked at the pictures on there. It was the high school kids that was doing it. And I'm thinking, who would have ever thought in our lifetime? I was just thinking about in my school, right or wrong, I mean, it wouldn't have been a good, but you know what, somebody got their head busted in, that's what would have happened. I mean, that I ain't saying that's right, I'm not approving that, I'm just telling you how it was. People were afraid to come out of the closet for a good reason. It's not that way today, that's a sad thing, but anyway, here's the deal. I mean, right here in Central Virginia, but fortunately, there was enough uproar from people on social media and things like that. Now listen, they didn't cancel it. Don't get all excited like we're all of a sudden becoming godly. They just moved it away from the school. They're still going to have it. It just got relocated. That's all that happened. So I'll take the good, whatever we can get out of it. But, you know, we see that. There's no regard when God looks down from heaven and looks at the world today. There's no general regard for God. There's no fear of God. I remember before I was saved, when I was a kid, when I grew up, I've shared this with you before. I mean, I always believed there was a God. I always believed that there was a Jesus. I thought things like this. I thought if you took God's name in vain, you was going to go to hell. If you killed somebody, there was no hope for you whatsoever. I mean, that's just the way I thought. There was a regard for God. Desecrate the house of God. People ride down this road right here. They don't think nothing about throwing beer cans out all across the front of the line. Do they, Jane? They got beer cans out there all the time. I would have never. I might have chunked it out in your yard, but I wasn't going to throw it out in the house of God's yard. I wouldn't have thrown it out in the churchyard. There was a respect of something. Even though I was lost, at least there was some kind of respect for God or some kind of knowledge of God. I mean, but that doesn't exist. And of course, now listen, this doesn't surprise me. And I don't think it doesn't surprise God. Nothing surprises God. But listen, let me ask, this is my sphere of concern is the church. You know, I'm pastoring a church, right? So I worry, you know, we look at Christianity. I'm a Christian. What about that? What does God see? Same thing. Perversion, immorality, corruption, indifference, lack of love for God and others, unfaithfulness, selfishness, coldness, deadness, the list goes on and on. This is what he sees when he looks down from heaven on the church, on God's people today. This is what he sees. Isaiah cried then for God's intervention. And listen, I mean, we need God's intervention more today than any other day. I mean, I think there ought to be some desperation in God's people's prayers today for the nation that we live in and for even for the church itself. Listen, in Isaiah's day, there was a remnant. There was a remnant of people. God's always had a remnant that loved him with all their heart. They followed him, they served him. But I'm talking about, and we have that today, there's a Christianity as a whole, the condition of the church as a whole. There's nothing but a special intervention by God that's going to help it. It's got to that point. Nothing but a special intervention by God is going to help us. And Isaiah asked this question up in chapter 63, verse 17. He said, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and harden our heart from thy fear? Now listen, I want to tell you, it doesn't mean the way that's written and the way it would come out. It's God didn't make them err from his ways. But what it is was he allowed them to continue going down the path that they wanted to go down. Huh? There's some people think that we don't have a say-so or a will, but you know what? God made us in his image and in his likeness, and God has a will. There's nobody telling God what to do. There's a lot of people in the world that are saying the same thing, right? And unfortunately, some of them are supposed to be Christians. And so when we think about this, God will allow you, if you want to go down a path of error, God will allow you to go down that path. You will pay the consequences of that choice. I mean, you know, that's just, I mean, God will call to you, he'll plead to you, he'll call to you, he'll be the first to call to you. But you have a choice to make about whether you want to go on. If you want to go, hey, you can go. There's consequences. Listen, if you want to go up here when church is over with and jump off the roof, you can go up here to this peak right here, knock yourself out. You probably will. Go ahead and do it, but there'll be consequences to hitting the ground. You can believe all you want, you're going to float down like a feather, but I got my doubts. I don't think that's going to happen, right? And so you can do that. There's consequences for those things. So God didn't make them. He just let them go down the path they'd already chose. And how could the world, when we think about this from the church's point of view, how can the world have any fear, which is reverential respect for God, when we ourselves do not have it? Huh? We don't have it. We don't have that. Not the way it should be. Not the way it should be. The church, as what that verse has said up above, the church is being trodden down and counted as a light thing, not only by the world, but by God's people themselves. It's a light thing. It's take it or leave it, brother. This is a take it or leave it Christianity, what we've tried to turn it into. It's not, but that's what we've tried to turn it into. We can take it, we can leave it, we clock in, clock out. It's no big deal. It's a light thing. So the people cried out. They said, God, look down. This is what God's going to look down and see. I don't know that I mean, do you really want to cry out, God, look down? I mean, I know he sees. It's just a figure of speech. He's already seen it. But what do you got? Look down. You want to cry, God, look down on my life? Huh? He's looking. Knows your thoughts. Knows your heart. I mean, God looks and he sees. The next cry that they had was in our text in 64 verse 1. The second point, they said, God, come down. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that thy mountains might flow down thy presence, man. I mean, here was a plea for the presence of God, a visible presence that they would have in that day. They wanted that to come down. Some people say that believe that this that plea right there is one of the greatest revival passages or prayers of all time. And it certainly exceeds most prayers that we hear at the average prayer meeting. When have we ever cried out to God when we have prayer requests on Wednesday night that God would pour out His Spirit on us and He would come down in His presence and that the fear of Him would come down and the mountains would melt down at His presence? We don't pray those kind of prayers. We don't think about those type of things. We don't get that way. Listen, this is a prayer of desperation. Man, if it's not a desperate hour, what's it going to take? I've said this 20 years ago. Little did I know. I said, listen, if we're not in a desperate state now, man, if we can't drum up a big prayer meeting to pray out to God and cry out to God at the way things were now, what is it going to take? Look at us. Look at us nationally. Look at us, look at us in the spiritual sense even. I'm going to tell you what, man. There was a day, when I first got saved. Oh, brother, man, I went and got a haircut, buddy. I got me a white shirt on. I'm not saying you got to do all that, but I cleaned up, buddy, and I was at the meetings, man. I wanted to be around God's people. I wanted to be around the Word of God. Man, they had a thing they used to have up here in Princeton, West Virginia. We went to that. Danielle was probably a baby. I don't guess Kyle was born yet. Danielle was just a baby, man. First time I took off work. Oh, we can imagine that. Took off work, and I didn't go to the campground. I didn't go to King's Dominion. I didn't go to Disney World. Nobody ought to go to Disney World if you want to get right down to it. That's another story. But I didn't go to none of those places. I tell you what I did, man. I went to a camp meeting, man, where they had preaching for 2 hours in the morning. They had two preachers, and then we went and had lunch. That was always a highlight. And we went, and then we come back. We go back home and meditate for just a little while back at the hotel. And then we go back down there that night, and there'd be two more preaching. There'd be singing going on. Man, I was around. God did that all week long. Boy, came back on Friday night. Man, I'll tell you what, I mean, it was great, man. It was new. My Christianity was new. It was a sense of God's presence. It was a sense of the working of God, but we've become jaded, and our eyes aren't open enough to even see the desperation of the hour. We can't have our eyes open up to see the desperation of our own selves. Man, if we could see our spiritual condition like God sees it, when God looks down at you, it should be desperate. It should be a desperate hour. It is a prayer of dependence, a prayer of desperation, praying for what's missing in your life, in our churches, a manifestation of God's power in our life. Now you got to be honest with yourself. I got another question for you to ask yourself. You have to be honest. Can't lie to yourself. Is God's power manifest in your life? Is it manifest to the world? I mean, somebody's going to see you and be around you for a few minutes and talk and say, man, God's on that guy. God's on that lady right there. Man, I mean the power of God. Isaiah, he looked back over in chapter 63, a little bit farther back. He remembered, he went over the things of old. He said, I remember the old days. He said, and he talked about Moses. He said, man, I remember when Moses, of course, he just had a few brief sentences about that, but it would include everything that took place, man. When we went head-to-head with Pharaoh, we studied in Vacation Bible School. He went head-to-head with Pharaoh, and he brought the Israelites out and took them down to the Red Sea, and God parted the sea, man, and they went through on that, and he drowned the Egyptian army, and led by a pillar of fire by day, or by night, and a pillar of a cloud by day. I mean, he made water come from the rock, and manna came from seemingly thin air, but it came from God. He remembered all those things. He said, God, man, and you know what happened when they went? You remember we went through this in Joshua, buddy, when the Israelites went over the Jordan River after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because of unbelief. They went over the Jordan River and they went up. When they got to Jericho and they talked to old Rahab, she said, our hearts melt because we have heard what God's doing with you. I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. Our hearts melt. We tremble. We fear We fear you people because what God is doing, what God has done, we've heard about it. She cried out to those people for mercy. Man, here was a person, literally, if we looked in New Testament time, there's a lady that got saved because she heard about what God had been doing with the people of God. Who's getting saved because of your life? Because when they hear, they see what God is doing with your life. Man, think about that. And what was the reason? What's the reason for that? See, it's in 63, verse 12. Led them by right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them. Here's why. To make himself an everlasting name. Man, I mean, that's what he did it for. To make himself an everlasting name that people would say, man, I'm telling you what, it's so hard to witness to somebody today, mainly because they cannot see the manifest presence of God in anybody's life. Not anybody. There's people out there that it's on, but they don't, you know, it's so few. It's so rare. They cannot see the power of God. I mean, when they see something happening, buddy, I'm telling you what, if God shook this place up, if God packed this place out, if we had to call the county to come down here and direct the traffic into all the churches all over the county, all over the Botetourt County, all over the state, boy, if churches were filled up and God's people were there, man, I mean, and we were filled with the Spirit of God, and buddy, God was pouring out of us like nobody's business. I'm going to tell you what, the world would sit up and take note, and they would fear us. I remember reading about, I can't think of the guy who it was. It was a preacher way back. I think he might have been in England. Anyway, he went down to the bank, and they knew he had a reputation. I mean, they knew that he was a praying man. They knew he was a man of God. They knew that God worked in his life. I mean, everybody knew that. But he went down to the bank, and you know, church accounts, man, you're trying to borrow money, and they look at that, anyway, it's an act of God, but when you get the loan. He went down to see about borrowing some money. He was in there talking to the bank president, and they said, sorry, brother so-and-so, Mr. so-and-so, whatever. He said, we can't loan you the money. And he said, all right, I understand. So he went outside. He was getting up in years. And he walked out, and where the bank president sat in office, he could see out the window right there just a little bit. And there was this place, the wall came by. But anyway, this old guy come out, and he got a little dizzy spell on him or something. And he leaned up against the wall like this, and he was bowing down. The bank president looked out the window, and no one who he knew all about the man and everything. He said, oh, no. He told one of the employees, he said, quick, run out there and get him. He said, I'm going to give him the money because he's praying against our church right now. He said, you go out there and get him, bring him in there. And he gave him the alone because he thought, I mean, that's having the power of God manifest before the world, right? They saw that there. Man, listen, make himself an everlasting name. Isaiah cried out for this to happen in his day. See 64, 1 and 2, he said, listen, oh, thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth and causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, and the nations may tremble at thy presence. Man, he's talking about right then. He's not talking about last days, the end of time. He's talking about right then that this would take place. Cause them to tremble. Listen, we need that right now, because I'm going to tell you what, we're not causing much trembling in the world today. God's people are not causing much trembling. They weren't waiting for the Lord's return. That will cause God, people to tremble. They wanted it right now. And we don't have to wait either. You know, we need God's power right now. We need that. I'm going to tell you what, I keep thinking about it. I know the Lord's coming back one day. Listen, I don't have to wait for that. You know, we're not, as far as waiting and the expectation, I'm not just waiting for that. Man, I got an expectation for God to do something right now. I understand that he can do something. I'm not just going to wait whether the Lord comes back. I'll tell you what, when he does come back, or even if he came back in power through us, the church, if he came back in power, I'm going to tell you what, he had stopped the mouths of a lot of them people out there, them specialty groups out there, huh? He would stop the mouths of the gay rights crowd. He would stop the mouths of the abortion crowd. They would all stop. That would end all that. It'll be an unexpected thing for them. There'll be a bunch of church folks with their mouth hanging open too. Huh? God pour out his spirit. There'll be people, I can see it now. They can just sit there. They can't believe what God could do. You just don't know what God could do. You can't, it says in the Bible that you can't even imagine it. That you can't imagine it. So it's far beyond our imagination what God could do. Think about this. Think about what this presence of God I mean, you're filled with the Spirit of God, what would do for you? What would it do for your holiness? What would it do for your reverence? What would it do for your Christ-likeness? I mean, God poured out like that, like they're talking about right there, huh? Boy, I'm telling you what, when God told Moses, you're on that holy ground, he said, take your shoes off. Woo! Man, I bet you what, he was treading lightly. He was treading lightly on that holy ground. How crucified to the world would you become? How crucified to the world? Now, I want to say something. Pay attention. If you don't pay attention to the rest of it, pay attention to this. Here's where our problem lies. Here's our problem, right here. And maybe you've thought about this. Boy, if God just poured out, and I mean God filled me with His Holy Spirit, I'm talking to the brim, where I'm filled with the love of God. Maybe you've thought about that, if you've never had it happen. Maybe you've thought about it, or even if you have. And you've thought about the possibility of your personality being taken over by the Holy Spirit of God. This is where your problem is. You've thought about that. Wait a minute. Holy Spirit of God going to take over me and my whole personality? See, those of you that are smart enough to think about it deeply enough, you start thinking, uh-oh, man, I don't know. See, you thought about the obedience that it would require for that to take place, see. So our problem is this, see, what it is we would say, well, you know, if I ask everybody, took a poll, we get polls all the time. How many of you like to see a revival really break out in our church? Oh, yeah, man, amen. We like it. But our problem is we want to have a revival break out and we want to be filled by the Holy Spirit of God, but we also want to do just like we please. You know, we want both things. And it can't happen. It cannot happen. We won't pay the price. We're not desperate now. Look at the world we're living in. Look at the state of your own spiritual life, and you're not desperate enough to cry out for God to do that, because you know what that's going to do to you. You know what? That God's going to rend some stuff like that sky right there. He's going to rend it out of your life. Huh? He's going to pull. There's going to be some things taken out of your life and burned up like the chaff. It's going to be burned up and taken out, and you don't want to give it up. Mm-mm. No, you love it too much. Huh? You'd like the revival, but nah, shoot. We have a revival. Yeah, if I ask everybody in here, everybody have on a revival? Yeah, have a revival meeting. Some of you wouldn't show up to one single meeting of it. Not that just coming to the meeting is going to cause it, but I mean, good night. If the desire's not there, I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, it's not happening. We're not desperate enough. Everybody is as full of God as they want to be. Everybody's as full of God as they want to be. And some don't want no more. Mm-mm. Not desperate enough for revival. Listen, you know it. Let's just be honest. I'm your friend. I love you. I'm not trying to bust you upside the head and say, well, I don't give a hoot about nothing. No, I care about it. You know, we can be honest with each other. You don't like me, that's okay. You can be honest. You know it. You know what I'm telling you is right. God knows it. Satan knows it. And I'm going to tell you another thing. The world knows it too. If Satan knows it, the world knows it. This is the truth. This is what God sees when He looks down. And then we see what we need to do is bow down. We need to bow down. See how desperate Satan's got us blinded. You know? Satan's got us blinded. And you know what we're all saying? Well, it's not that bad. I mean, we know it's bad, but it's not that bad. It's not that bad. What does God see? Let's get it personal. What does God see when He looks at you? It's not as good as you think it is. Whatever you think. What does He see? Cry out for God's presence. Desire and believe, ask and expect. You remember those two? There was two blind men in the Bible in the New Testament. There was two blind men, and they cried out to Jesus that he would heal them. And this is what Jesus said. This would apply to us. According to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. And I'm afraid that this is what we're seeing, why we're seeing what we're seeing, because it's according to our faith. It's all we want. If you ask God to do unexpected things, let me ask you this. You may be afraid of it. Would it be good? The unexpected things, would they be good things or bad things? Be good things. It would only always be good things. Now, you may think it's bad at the time, but it's still the overall sense of things is good. God only has good for us, right? You know, Bobby comes, he's going to say God is good. And all the time. Right. You say it, but you don't believe. You don't believe it. It's about as enthusiastic as that response. That's about how you believe. You know, yeah, you know what? If God brings something out of your life, it's good. God puts something in your life, it's good. If God leads you down this path, it's good. If he leads you away from that, it's going to be good. Huh? If whatever he takes out is going to be bad, whatever he puts in is going to be good, you got to believe that. In verse 64, 1, they cried that God would rend the heavens. Rend those things. What, as I said earlier, what would be rent from your life in the presence of God? What would he take out of your life? What things would melt down and be burned up? We need to pray that God would awaken our faith for the things not seen or expected. It's the great need of the hour. And I'm going to tell you what, it's the great need of every individual personally. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And I know that Satan has blinded our minds to the desperation of the hour, the desperation of the time. We've lied to ourselves, Lord, as well. Lord, help us get that out of the way. Lord, clear our minds up. Help us to see, Lord. The Bible, your word tells us, let every man examine himself. Lord, help us to look at ourselves in a spiritual light, in the mirror of your word, Lord, that we look at that and then look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves, Lord. Help us to see how desperate we should be, Lord, not only with the world, but as I said, even just looking at our spiritual condition, Lord, as a person, as a church, Lord, help us in that area. It's my prayer today, if someone here is not sure about their salvation, Lord, they need to call on you, Lord. We can bow down, Lord, ask for forgiveness, Lord. Call you into our life. We could be saved. We're so thankful for that, Lord. Thankful that we have your word, and sometimes it's hard, Lord. And yet at the same time, we understand, Lord, that when you're pointing things out, Lord, when we get convicted, that means you're not done with us, Lord. You're dealing with us, that you love us, Lord. You want us to turn to you with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, Lord. That's what you're looking for. Lord, you look down, you may not be happy with what you see, but it's not hopeless. Lord, you still would deal with us. If we just cry out to you, Lord, call out to you, that's what we have to do. Lord, you're waiting on us to see it, Lord, and to cry out to you, Lord. So I pray that we'll do that today if we need to, and I know we do. Lord, here as we have the invitation, it's my prayer. If anybody needs to be saved, they'll come forward. Maybe somebody watching on Facebook will see the same. Lord, I pray they'll call on you to be saved, for it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name, I pray.